The National Labor Relations Board yesterday reversed a ruling that had led to a wave of union organizing among teaching assistants at private universities. In 2000, the NLRB said that graduate students who teach or grade papers at New York University had the right to organize. Yesterday, the case involved Brown University, and the board decided they do not. Scott Smallwood covers labor relations for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Scott Smallwood, what's the difference between the NYU case in 2000 and the Brown case in 2004?
Robert, really the only difference is the board. The membership is nearly entirely changed. Only one member who voted on the NYU case is still on the board, and it's now controlled by three Republican appointees. And the decision yesterday was a 3-2 split along party lines.
The ruling reasoned that the relationship between graduate students and Brown University is not fundamentally one of employer and employee.
Right, that primarily while the students do some things that make them look like employees, primarily they're students and therefore are not covered by federal labor law.
Since the NYU decision of 2000, what has the trend been in terms of organizing of graduate teaching assistants?
After that decision, the United Automobile Workers, who had organized the teaching assistants at NYU, immediately began organizing drives at Brown University, at Tufts, at Columbia, and then the American Federation of Teachers began an organizing drive at the University of Pennsylvania. Those drives were successful. They led to elections. We don't know the results of those elections because the universities appealed in each one of those cases. That's what brought us to where we are now with the NLRB ruling in the Brown case. We expect them now to rule in those other cases as well.
But the Brown case, in which the NLRB has come out against the unions and in favor of the university, is significantly the same case we're going to hear for the other universities.
Exactly.
This is a signal that the NLRB is going to be against unionization of teaching assistants.
Absolutely.
In those elections that were taking place on campuses where unions were organizing, were graduate students typically voting for unionization?
It varied. I should say we don't actually know what those votes were. Mm-hmm. All of those ballots were impounded and were never counted. At least at Brown and probably at Columbia, it was not an overwhelming majority. They may have won. They may have lost. There are plenty of graduate students out there who don't think this is a good idea. It often falls along disciplinary lines. So people in the humanities often don't have as good of a deal mm-hmm. as a teaching assistant or a graduate student, and they're more interested in union organizing, whereas students in the sciences and engineering don't see a need for it.
So what do the unions or what do the graduate students do now?
They've got a couple options. UAW leaders talk about the possibility of taking this case to federal court and appealing the NLRB's decision. The other option is that they continue to try to organize unions and get universities to voluntarily recognize them. And the decision doesn't mean that it's illegal to have a graduate student union. It just means that federal law doesn't give them the right.
One last point. While these are private universities and they're the ones at issue here, state universities do have unionized teaching assistants. What is the difference between a state university and a private university in terms of this question?
In this case, the difference is which labor law is governing their employment status. So with the private employers, federal labor law and the National Labor Relations Act, which is what the board is in charge of, govern their employment status. With the state employees, they're generally, and the public institutions, they're generally governed by state labor law and state labor boards, which have, in certain cases, allowed TA unionization for decades.
Scott Smallwood, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Scott Smallwood, reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education.